personal politics aside, can the United States realistically expect democracy, or rather a republic, to succeed in a country like Iraq, whose religion teaches that women are substandard beings? How can people be equal in a democracy if they aren't and in their own religion? I know that we're... Now, the short answer, yeah, you're right, Debbie. The short answer is no. If we indeed have... And there are different ideas of what a democracy is. Whether it's a democratic form of government that where every vote counts equally and every person has the same voice equally and it's popular vote in elections and that's it. Or more like the republic that we have, which has democratic laws, and sets up constitutionalities and laws and has a representative form of government. Yes, Ed? Yeah, well, women did not get the right to vote. We call it a democracy, and it is considered a democracy from the standpoint there is a definition called liberal democracy in which you may have a republic and people vote and elect representatives, but democratically you do get to vote on certain laws, etc. Referenda is the popular vote that counts, that kind of thing. So we're really, technically we are a republic / liberal democracy. And that means open. That's not pejorative in using liberal. Because of laws, regulations, certain mores, etc., that are expected and anticipated. But, yeah, for the most part, we were established as a republic. And we function as a democratic republic, really, if you want to be technical about it. Because of those laws, etc. And, you know, there is that real question about can we seriously expect countries in which Islam is the predominant religion, if not the religion, period, can we honestly anticipate a democracy or a democratic republic to be established and survive? And that's really a difficult issue and a difficult question. And John and others, Lee and Billy and others, have been fighting because we want people to be free because we have freedoms. We think people should be free. And yet, in many of those countries, the leadership, and especially the religious leadership, do not think people should be totally free. Of course, the interesting thing is... this is my notebook, World Religions from Chinese Religion through Baha'is and New Age. So that covers all kinds of things in there, including Islam. I got another one just as thick from basic religion up to Chinese religions. But when we start talking about this kind of situation and whether there can really be a democratic republic established or not, in some of my research last year, ran across some interesting things. Gallup polls. Gallup did a poll about who wants, or do Muslims want democracy or theocracy? Theocracy is totally governed by God and religion. And it's really kind of interesting. According to this poll, substantial majorities in nearly all nations surveyed, which includes 94% in Egypt, 93% in Iran, and 90% in Indonesia. Now, that's the people that they talked to, the general people they talked with, who would answer them, right? Not necessarily the leadership. Say that if they were drafting a constitution for a new country, they would guarantee freedom of speech, defined as allowing all citizens to express their opinion on the political, social, and economic issues. But you notice what's missing. Religion. Absolutely. Religion is missing there. However, while acknowledging and admiring many aspects of Western democracy, those freedoms, those surveyed do not favor wholesale adoption of Western models of democracy. They want their own democratic model that incorporates Sharia. Now, we mentioned before, Sharia law is law based on a very strict fundamentalist interpretation, right-wing fundamentalist interpretation of the Quran and what it says. Let's see. In only a few countries did a majority say that Sharia should have no role in society. In most countries, only a minority wanted Sharia as the only source of law. In Jordan, Egypt, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Bangladesh, the vast majority want Sharia law as the only source of determining legislation, which means religious law from the Quran as interpreted by the quote-unquote doctors of the law determine punishments for everything, not just breaking religious law, but breaking what we would call civil law. But in those countries that are highly Islamic, especially right-wing Islam, there is no separation of religion and government. In Jordan, it says that males and females, it's kind of interesting, in Jordan 54% of men and 55% of women want Sharia as the only source of legislation. And Sharia law keeps women oppressed, and women who have illicit affairs are stoned to death. There have been cases, especially in certain countries in Africa and the Middle East, in the last several years where Sharia law has been, we've mentioned this one time before, has been used in a case where a woman was gang raped, but because she didn't fight back hard enough to escape her captor, she was stoned to death. She was found guilty of committing adultery. And another one that we did mention that happened just about 3 years ago in a country in Africa, the woman got pregnant from that, and they allowed her to live long enough to give birth to the baby, and then the baby was given to other family to raise while she was then executed. So it's really surprising. 55% of women in Jordan want Sharia as the only legislation. In Egypt, 70% of men and 62% of women want Sharia law as the only form of legislation. Interestingly enough, in Iran, only 12% of men and 14% of women want Sharia law as total, though they do want a mixture of Sharia law and democracy in everything that they do. Sharia law is seen as divine and immutable, infallible, comes straight from Allah through the doctors of the law. That would be the imams, etc., to interpret it. It cannot be grasped by human intelligence, but only as Allah reveals it to the doctors of the law. European or democratic law is, in their definition, is human, made by humans, and is changeable. Therefore, it is inferior and not to be used. Sharia law is divine and the only form of law that should be used. The Quran, while it does teach a need to be generous, to respect your parents, even to help your enemy, if your enemy does not have something to eat or a place to stay the night before you will kill him in battle, it also talks of intolerance for pagans. There are calls for violence and murder. Women are not equal. Non-Muslims have no rights or equality in Islamic countries. Slavery is acceptable, and punishment for breaking Sharia law is barbaric. Of course, before we jump too quickly, that could also be said of the church in the Middle Ages, in the Inquisitions. They were rather barbaric in torturing people, etc. But the question asked, how can we expect, especially when women in particular are considered substandard beings? Most Muslim... Yes?
Her vote.
The votes in these countries being so high among women, the question is, the votes in the country being so high among women for Sharia law is the only legislation. Could it be that the men are influencing that vote, forcing that vote? I think it's a combination of that overbearing kind of male dominance, as well as what they've been brought up in. And they've been brought up in the whole, I mean, inshallah, if God wills it, is probably one of the most repeated phrase in all of Arabic in Islamic countries. It's the will of God. And to go against Allah brings all kinds of torments and tortures and other things. So I do think that has a lot to do with it. You know, there was a time where women were inculcated, well, still can be in this country. Look at some of the Mormon sects where you've got that have been in the news, and now this guy's going to get a new trial out in Utah because there were improper instructions to the jury. The one that was found guilty of having that Mormon sect, and he decided who would have marriages, and he married multiple women, including 14-year-olds, and that kind of thing. So sometimes that brainwashing, we would call it, in some instances, comes around. Many Muslim, in fact, I would say in these countries, most Muslim marriages are arranged marriages. The woman has no say as to who she's going to marry. And oftentimes those are arranged when they are young girls. Within many Muslim countries, the Quran allows for Islamic men to marry as many as four wives at a time. Muslim men may marry Christian women, not Jewish, but Christian women, were people of the book too, but they must convert over to Islam. Muslim women are not allowed to marry non-Muslim men. If they do, their family considers them dead. And according to Sharia law, it is perfectly okay for them to be hunted down and killed because they have offended Allah and the faith. Women are completely inferior. In court, if a woman is called to testify in most Islamic countries, her testimony is worth at most half of that of a man in determining anything, and a lot of times less than that. As I said, they're forbidden to marry non-Muslims. Their movement is restricted by men, especially in these heavily Islamic countries. Where they can go and when they can go out of the house and other places is restricted by the men in their lives. Fathers, husbands, brothers, if there are not husbands or fathers around at the time. In some Muslim countries, women are not allowed to drive a car or ride in a car with a male that is not a relative. Of course, what's really interesting about that, kind of as a little sidelight, some years ago in my doctoral work, I did I was taking a course on religious exclusivism, and it was the same semester that Camp Koresh happened out in Waco. But we read the Dead Sea Scrolls and some other things in Christianity, and then we had to find either a church or a school or something like that in the area that we could study that had their own literature and their own hierarchy and see if they were really more like the Qumran community or more like a Christian church. And I chose the one out on Horse Road that tries to out Bob Jones Tabernacle, and among other things, mentioning this, among other things, a female student there was not allowed, even if they were severely injured or going to the hospital for emergency surgery, they were never allowed to ride in a car with anyone of the opposite sex unless it was their father or their brother. To do so, if you had a wreck on the side of the road and you were put in the car by somebody that wasn't your father or your brother and taken to the hospital, and they found out, they could kick you out of school.
Years ago, when we had
Bob Jones students are very good workers.
And but if the girls just didn't have a way to work or they didn't have a way home, I would either go get them or take them back to the university.
Yeah.
Because they could not run until the morning.
That's right. The girls were not allowed to ride with boys. Also in Bob Jones, they've softened this some, but in Bob Jones, in all of the major buildings, classroom buildings that had more than one floor, there was a women's staircase and a men's staircase. And woe be unto you if you were caught on the wrong one. But you know, you've got all of this with women. In fact, slavery, according to the Quran, the section Surah, chapter 4. Slavery is okay, and Muslim men can cohabitate with any female slave, and it's not against, not only is it not against their religion, their wives are not supposed to get upset. And a Muslim man, according to the Quran, can take into possession any married woman he wants to and make her one of those with whom he can cohabitate if she is a slave of him or someone else. Non-Muslims in Muslim countries are inferior, according to the law, and cannot testify against a Muslim. While some want freedom of speech in certain areas, the majority still want Sharia law to be enforced. Really more of a theocracy than a democratic republic. Non-Muslims are inferior under the law and cannot testify against Muslims. In fact, in Saudi Arabia, and this is last year, in Saudi Arabia, according to the polls, non-Muslims cannot practice their religion, build churches, or talk about their religion with Muslims upon possible pain of torture and death. In fact, when the Turks take over countries, if everyone that was not a Muslim was encouraged to practice Islam, to convert, back then they called it Mohammedism, to convert to Mohammedism. If you were a Jew or a Christian, because they worshipped one God and were people of the book, and in Islam, the Pentateuch of Moses, the Psalms of David, the teachings of Jesus, especially the Sermon on the Mount, and a few other things are considered sacred, though not as sacred as the Quran. If you were a Jew or a Christian and you would not convert, but you agreed to practice your religion quietly and live under the auspices of the Muslims, the Turks, you were allowed to live. If not, you were killed. Anyone who was not Muslim, Jewish, or Christian was given... They were given two choices. They could convert or they could die. Because better that the infidels die and Allah possibly have mercy on their souls than they continue to live against the will of Allah and Islam. And part of that comes out of some bad experiences that Muhammad had when he was growing up. Anyone can convert to Islam. But anyone who converts from Islam, and not just women, anyone who converts from Islam to another religion can be killed. Oftentimes, in some countries, their families will hold funerals for them with a picture of them in the coffin, saying they're dead as far as they're concerned. Any non-believer, an atheist or an agnostic, in an Islamic country does not have the right to life. They can be killed for any reason or no reason. Because according to Sharia law, unbelief is the greatest sin that can be committed. It's much worse than murder, theft, or even adultery. Punishments include all kinds of things from amputations to stoning to flogging. Non-Muslims are not free to choose their work in a Muslim country. I know that Lynn's best friend from school's former husband worked for Halliburton in Iraq. in rebuilding things, he ran computer cables and set up networks and all that kind of stuff. Made tens of thousands of dollars a month doing such. He could do that in certain areas because a deal had been worked out between the government and Halliburton. But if he chose to move over there and to live and then freelance, he would not be allowed to freelance. He cannot. You cannot choose. Any non-Muslim cannot choose what you want to do as a vocation. Which raises some interesting kinds of questions about this whole thing of Sharia law, of being governed predominantly by a strict interpretation of the Quran, even in the area of politics, society, etc. And though many, there are places where some of those folks we mentioned would like to have freedom of speech and certain other freedoms that Western democracies or democratic republics have, if it comes to any conflict between Sharia law and democratic form of government in politics or in society, Sharia law always trumps the other. So it really raises the question as to whether there really can be, as my son wrote, can there really be a democratic republic in those areas where so many people are not equal? Of course, then we go back, Ed, you talked about women didn't get the right vote till last century. African Americans didn't get the right to vote until last century. Even though we were supposedly founded upon the principle that all are created equal, although we probably don't need to miss the fact that that said all men are created equal, and that's probably more than just saying everybody was equal. But what happens is within Western democracy or a democratic republic is laws can be changed, right? Sharia law doesn't change. Laws can be changed. Advances can be made, which also raises a question, I think, about beyond what was asked here, about not only whether it can be established or not in heavily Islamic countries, but whether those countries can even be open to the possibilities of change or interpreting even the laws of the Quran. I think not. That's just my personal opinion. I think not. But when you've got this situation where people are not only are they not equal, but there is such a disparity between these kinds of situations. Muslim women, according to Sharia law, are supposed to wear the burqa. You probably won't hear them hear the song, burqa baby, burqa baby, give me a... No. The old beach baby, sorry. Some Muslim countries, for example, Pakistan, have abolished... Some Muslim countries like Turkey have abolished Sharia law. Turkey, which was predominantly Muslim, has gotten rid of Sharia law as the means of governing. But Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia. Indonesia is the percentage-wise is the most highly populated Muslim or highly concentrated Muslim group in the world. 99.7 or 8% of all the people in Indonesia are Muslim. Many of the Muslim countries where Sharia law, where it's highly Islamic and Sharia law is indeed the means by which things are governed, have religious police. They not only have their secular police, but they have religious police. that check out what people are doing, if people wear inappropriate clothing, they bring those ladies or those women up on all kinds of charges. It's really interesting. A few years ago in Saudi Arabia, just a few years ago, the Committee for the Propagation of Virtue and Prevention of Vice in Saudi Arabia declared Barbie dolls a threat to morality because of the revealing clothes. And Barbie dolls have been banned in Saudi Arabia for the last 10 years. You can get Barbie dolls on the black market. However, shops found selling them are fined, the dolls confiscated, and they can be closed down completely. Didn't know Barbie was such a threat. So I guess when you look at the question, probably Debbie, your quick answer, your short answer, is probably the most on target. It's highly unlikely, if not no, that we can really expect a democratic form of government or a democratic republic to be established in some of these places. Turkey's probably more open to it, but Turkey's got some other things going on that have made them so. Just look at what happened. Current events. What's on the news the last 2 days out of northern Afghanistan? Medical team taken out, six of them, taken out into the woods and summarily executed. Because somebody in the villages where even Karzai's folks, the armies of Afghanistan, won't go because it's so remote and so tribal and so lawless. And here you've got this guy, optometrist out of New York State. He and his wife raised their children there. They lived in Afghanistan for 30 years. They went into the basement when they heard rockets and gunfire and stuff like that. But they go in. He's been there numerous times. They go in. They're marching into the villages to bring eye care and other health care where it was totally unavailable to folks. And the Taliban takes them out and summarily executes them in the woods. Anybody remember the charges, supposedly? Spying and teaching Christianity. Even though, yes, they were funded by some folks out of a religious organization, but this guy's been funded by those folks for 30 years. Two American women, one with the camera, a video camera, wanting to document their journey and document what they were doing with the people, and they get, all six of them get carried out and summarily executed. Preaching, Christian. The spying is the lesser issue of the two, by the way. The lesser of the charges was spying. The greater charge that has come out supposedly leveled against them as reason for why they were executed at gunpoint and then dumped, was talking about their religion, Christianity. Because that was seen as a greater offense. So, Democratic Republic or Islamic theocracy? I don't think the odds are in favor. There's a hope always. And we want John and Billy and others to certainly be prudent and be safe. They're doing what they're ordered to do. But, and I know there are some differences, but Afghanistan's a tough place to overcome. Yeah, I was going to say, ask the former Soviet Union. Even ask the Mongol hordes that came through centuries ago. When religion, certainly not saying that religion should not play a part in our lives. I think that it should in our connection with God. And the Quran does teach that violence against others is only to be used in defense of Islam when it's being attacked, or Allah. And it does talk about generosity. In fact, interestingly enough, and sometimes a lot of folks forget it, there are numerous places in the Quran where the Quran says religion is never to be coerced. No one is ever to be forced. I think Muhammad kind of skipped over those parts, as did some others along the way. Of course, then again, Christians have done that, and Jews have done that, and even Hindus have done that, skipped over some things like that, and sought to force people. But only if cooler heads prevail and people start looking at the calls by the Quran to seek peace with those around, is there any hope in any predominantly Muslim country. But as long as you have countries where the Taliban has a stronghold and basically comes and goes in half the country as much as it pleases, where people preach that you cannot bring in another a religious tract, a Bible, establish a church, talk about your religion in earshot of anybody who is Muslim, as long as the majority of leaders and others in those countries feel that better to be dead than, or better your enemy is dead than to not believe in Allah, it's going to be very hard, if not impossible, to establish a democratic republic. No matter how much we want people to be free, no matter how much we want people to experience grace and the possibility of peace, I'm coming back to Debbie. That answer at the beginning? No. There may be hope in some places, but in a lot of these countries, I think, at least in the foreseeable future, the answer is no. And I hate being pessimistic like that. I really do mean it when I pray that we have world peace. When I pray that people seek peace and not, I'd much rather have than.
Yeah. I
think it is sad that the majority of them were probably, of those women who vote that way, were probably taught that. The fear of any change in that. I mean, you've even gotten to the point where now female suicide bombers are being recruited. I don't know what they're promised. You know, the men are promised 40 virgins in the afterlife. I don't know what the promise of women. Do what? Well, maybe. That's a good answer, Melissa. To be left alone. That might be. Either that, or maybe they're promised 40 Chippendales. I don't know. Yeah, it might be to be left alone. And maybe some of those women don't mind that their husband has four wives, because that means they're only on duty every so often. But it is a serious question, and it's something that's not going away, and something that whether you want to or not, the only way you don't hear about it is if you don't turn on the TV at news time, you don't read the paper, you don't look on the internet, or you don't listen to people talking in the coffee shop or the Hardee's.
That was this past week. It was great.
Yeah, I will admit, I saw news about 10 minutes a day, 2 days this week. And I forgot this morning, finally put it. I left it at home when we left last week. In fact, I've gotten where I do that when we go off on vacation. Now I leave my watch at home. Yeah, but I have to leave my cell phone back in the place. I'm not allowed to take it out on the beach. Yes, Ed. Okay, Ed. When you were there, the theory at Furman, the theory was to outlast communism. Yeah, well, you know, that's, yeah.
What will be the long run effect if we can hang on? And we're getting weaker, there's no doubt about it. But do you think we can outride this thing so that these countries become more and more westernized? Because, I mean, they're walking around in Nike t-shirts with a, you know, a wireless phone
in their ear
and everything.
Can we outlast this Sharia like we did, communism? Will they become westernized? Yeah. Will they become westernized? Yeah. I remember if the siren goes off, we were told to get under our desk and put our head between our knees. All that means is that when the desk falls, it's going to catch you on the back of the neck. But will we outlast them? I hope so. But. Well, I don't know. I think, will we outlast? We can hope. However, with more and more calls for folks to reject Western mores, that's one of the biggest things is, even in these countries where they would like freedom, if they were rewriting the Constitution, they would like freedom of speech given to everyone in politics, social issues and economics, but not religion. The one thing that they across the board say, even those folks who say yes, they would allow those freedoms, is, but we will not, or we would not want the decadent, sliding morals of the Western society that we see to become the norm, because that's an offense to Allah and to Islam. So I think as long as you've got the people out there who are adamantly against that, it's going to be a long time coming, if ever. In some of the countries, you have people walking around like that, but for the most part, if it's in an Islamic country, it's going to be the men, not the women. Look at the uproar in France over banning the burqas and the headdress and all that kind of stuff. And the uproar is coming from imams and from highly Islamic countries, even some of the women in the highly Islamic countries, because that's seen as an affront to Allah and Islam. So I don't know. I would hope we would outplay. What was the other one? Outwit. Survivor. Well, that mindset is here in America. You're right, Francis. And not just among Islamic women. There are some other groups, too. I saw an interview not quite 2 years ago between a Christian professor and three professors of... Well, two of them were professors of Islamic studies, and they were Muslims, and a woman who was an economics... law and economics professor who was Muslim and who was wearing a dress, a regular dress, had on makeup, etc. And they were treating all the men were treating her somewhat cordially until she had a major disagreement with one of the guys that was doing the religion thing from Islam, was actually an imam in Chicago. Immediately, the only one that defended her was the Christian. The two Muslim guys start in on her because she had rejected much of her faith and much of her what was proper, because now she was wearing makeup, she had her hair fixed like an American woman, and she was wearing a dress like an American woman. And if she really was as smart as she supposedly was, she would know where her place was. And this was on a nationally televised broadcast. Right. Right. She would not have been that well educated. So, I appreciate all y'all's comments. I've run over by 4 minutes already. So, if we want to continue this, you know, informally, we can do that. Might revisit it some other time. But, Ed, I really don't know if we can outlast or not. We don't know. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, an interesting ride. Thank you. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.